Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the most important event of the whole week, where we reorient our spiritual compass and our soul feels its worth as we get a clearer, bigger view of God. My hope is that as a result of you being here this week, you will have a bigger view of his endless glories, perfection, and beauty. It's really hard for us to fathom, but there is no limits to God's holiness, his glory and sovereignty. There's no end to his riches, his wisdom, and his righteousness. All his attributes exist together in perfect harmony, perfect balance, perfect cooperation, with no contradiction, no confusion, and no diminishing of their glory forever. He is the source of everything good and beautiful. This God who we come together to worship, people from every generation have come to worship him with good reason, because he is the King of Glory. So please stand as we remind ourselves who this King of Glory is, the one who is mighty in battle, a battle we can't see happening but that really is. Please join with me in this psalm together. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand at his holy place? The one who has clean hearts and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient joys, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he? This King of Glory, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. For those who've just come in, just a reminder that if you would like to sing, we'd love you to sing, but you must have your masks over your mouth. And if this indeed is your King, then let's rejoice from the bottom of our hearts as we come, for a long time after not singing, to rejoice that the Lord is King.
Lift up your heart. please have a seat.
God has given us so many good things. So we're just going to have a moment reflecting before we join in a prayer of praise to God of some of the blessings that we can see from God in our lives. Please join with me in saying together, Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the beautiful things for Christians is that we come to hear the very words of the living God. So just before Stuart comes to read to us, please bow your heads as I pray that we would receive this word as it truly is. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts more deeply to receive your word, that we may know you better, be thoroughly equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1.
Good morning, everyone. Today we're doing Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And then we're skipping through to verses 26 through to 38. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, if you've not opened it up already, to chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then through to verses 26 through to 38. This is the beginning of a little sermon series over Advent called That We May Be Certain of the Things We Have Been Taught. Well, up on the screen here, what things would you say that you are certain about? What is it that gives you the reason for actually saying, yep, I'm certain about those things? The sun rising in the morning, the things we see with our eyes, seeing is believing, the way your mother has taught you to make a spaghetti bolognese, it's the only way, I'm certain it's the only way you can do it. Or 1 + 1 = 2, or what you hear on the news. What is it that you would be certain about? Of the things that you've been taught. We've all heard the saying, there are only two certainties in life. Death and taxes. That's right, death and taxes. What things would you say you were actually certain about? Well, it's Advent, and that time of the year when we remember the very first time that our Lord, and the very second comings of our Lord Jesus. And the word Advent actually means coming, approaching, being with. The message of Advent is that as sure as Christ came into the world the first time, he's going to come a second time. And these things the Christian is to be certain of and to know the reason for their certainty. So the sermons over Advent and the Bible studies that will accompany them in your bulletin and email to you each Friday are to help us to actually know the certainty of the truth of Advent and the things that we have been taught. I remember a time when I didn't believe in God. There's always been a time in my life where I've believed in God. I've thought on him. I've talked with him. My children's Bible was always on a shelf that was behind my head in my bed and often read. My parents kept their baptismal promises and taught me to know Christ in the life of the church. Some of my early memories are of Sunday school, hearing stories from the Bible, learning to pray, and of course to sing. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read. Isn't it good to be able to sing? Isn't it great? The best is to be in the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. Oh, the best book to read is the Bible. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's wonderful to be able to sing again, even though behind masks and softly from close distance. My Sunday school teacher at Holy Trinity Bexley North was Miss Wendy Dale, the minister's daughter. When I turned up at Moore College, Wendy worked in the principal's office at the reception desk. Wendy was a quiet, reserved lady, gently spoken. Nothing really rattled me, Wendy. And as students, we used to hand our essays in at the office. When they were marked, we would go back to the office and we would collect them from the office. And Wendy would often be the person who would hand our essays back to us. One essay I got back, I wasn't too happy with the result. To be honest with you, I actually knew I wasn't going to do too well in that essay. I think it was actually the essay before I had to get in late on the day before we got married, Rosemary. On the Friday, married the next day, up all night the Thursday night getting it in. But when I saw the mark, I cheekily said, loud enough that all in the office could hear, "Now, Wendy, if you had taught me better in Sunday school, I would have got a much better mark." Now, Wendy was quick as a flash off the mark, and she said, "It had nothing to do with me at all, Trevor. You should have studied harder," you know, out of which everybody laughed. My brothers, who were in their late teens when I was in Sunday school, me being a surprise packet, were surprised themselves all to hear, weren't actually surprised to hear that I had eventually gone into more college hoping to be a minister. My older brother Graham used to say, I remember him saying to me, "When you were a young person, we knew you were always going to go into ministry at some point. Every time an animal died at the place, you invited us back out there to the backyard and you'd have a funeral and you'd say a few prayers for them." Right? Always thought I'd do a good funeral. We who believe in the sovereignty of God and that he is always working things out according to his plans and for our good are not surprised to know that God always keeps his promises, that his plans will always be fulfilled. It had always been God's plan to become one of us in Christ. In Jeremiah 23, verses 5 to 6, we read, "As a king he would come. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." In 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13, to King David, God promised, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom forever." And in Isaiah 7, verse 14, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God's plan had always been to be one of us, a king who would do what is just and right, a king whose kingdom will rule forever, and a king who'd be born of a virgin and be God with us. And the time came for those days promised to come. And as we heard read by Stuart from Luke's Gospel, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." As planned, God was to become one of us. And Mary was troubled. And Mary was afraid at the angel's words and wondered what greeting this might be. And rightly so, for we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, the message spoken from angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. But to Mary, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And the question we ought to ask is, well, what favor? And in Hebrews 1, verse 14, we read, "Are not angels ministering spirits and sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" She was to be the recipient, the inheritor of God's promised gift to her of his salvation. That salvation was to come through the conception of a child born to her. But not any child, but none other than God himself in his Son, King Jesus. He is that salvation promised. God's plan was always to become one of us in Christ, as King, as Saviour. But how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Despite experiencing and being greeted such by an angel, Mary held herself together quite well. I don't know how you or I would respond, but from the wording that's there, she held herself together quite well. She wasn't panicking. She wasn't freaking out. Her question was rational and suggests to me no doubt on her part, but a curiosity as to how God would fulfill his plan. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For why no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. The child, God's salvation, Jesus, was to be both truly God and truly man. Of God, of Holy Spirit, of human, the Virgin Mary. So the one to be born will be holy, the Son of God. But the question we ought to ask is why? Why this way? And the scriptures remind us to atone for our sin, to make us one once again with God, to take the consequence away, to redeem us, to reconcile us to himself, and for God to receive us back. He was to save us. God always required under the law a sacrifice. A sacrifice that was without blemish. And we read in Exodus 12, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. In Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive as adopted as sons. John 1, verse 29, seeing Jesus coming toward him, John the baptizer said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in 1 John 3 verse 5, he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in 1 Peter 3 verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. If Jesus were a sinner like you or me, in any sense of the word, then he could not provide salvation for us. But being the Son of God, he came into the world and lived a sinless life. Being born of Mary, the Son of Mary, and the Son of God, he identified with us in every way, but without sin, and therefore could be and would be the sacrifice without blemish for our sin, without spot or anything of sin, to reconcile us, to save us. As Anglican Christians, our doctrine sums it this way in Article 2, and you can find that in the 39 Articles, number 2. I'll read it out to you. It's a bit wordy, but it sums the doctrine up well. The Son, which is the Word of the Father, begotten from everlasting of the Father, the very and eternal God, and of one substance with the Father, took man's nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin of her substance. So the two whole and perfect natures, that is to say the Godhead and manhood, were joined together in one person, never to be divided, whereof is in one Christ, very God and very man, who truly suffered, was crucified, dead and buried. Why? To reconcile his Father to us, and to be a sacrifice, not only for original guilt, but also for all actual sins of men and women, boys and girls. Why has Luke recorded this story in his gospel? Why is it there? Verses 1 to 4 of chapter 1. Luke wanted his reader, Theophilus, to know the certainty, the absolute certainty of the things he had been taught regarding Jesus and his salvation. He wanted us too to be certain, to know the certainty of the things we have been taught. God had always planned to become one of us in Christ, as King, as Saviour, as God and man, to save us. Why? That we may be certain. The angel's word to Mary was fulfilled. We can be certain of our salvation because God, as one of us, in King and Saviour, Jesus Christ, has achieved it for us. Luke writes, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 3, we read these reminders, a comforting word and a reassuring word, but a challenging word. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, to what we have been taught, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation that we find in that child who grows to be a man, dies on a cross, rises from the dead, sends to the Father, and is coming back again to take us home? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, it has always been your plan to become one of us in Christ, to save us and to grant us the certainty of that salvation. Grant us the grace to live accordingly with assurance that as sure as you came the first time to save us, you will come a second to fulfill all things and bring us to yourself. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as we come to reflect on really, really important words. The sort of love that the God of the Bible has for each one of us, where ultimately he wants to raise us up to see him face to face.
Thank you.
please sit or kneel for a time of prayer. In the scriptures, we are reminded that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us every day with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with all sincerity and confidence together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. The God who Christians worship is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Let's join in the prayer Jesus taught his followers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer together. Almighty and saving God, today we thank you for the eyewitness records that we have, which have been carefully investigated and allow us to be certain of the things that we've been taught. We are amazed that your plan was always to have your Son to be born as a man and to become one of us as our King and Saviour. We thank you for Mary's faith and trust to be able to act as your servant to fulfil your purpose. At this time of year, as we prepare to celebrate this event in history, we ask that you will help us to remember that none of your words will ever fail, but rather that you guide and lead everything to achieve your will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love you have shown us by having Jesus come to earth as one of us. Amen. Sovereign Lord, we bring before you the ongoing global challenge of the pandemic. It has been quite a week, with the paradox of starting the rollout of a vaccine in the UK at the same time as there are more people dying than at any other time during the pandemic, and daily new cases in the hundreds of thousands. Lord God, we continue to be distressed at the thought of so many people who have died because of this infection. We ask that you comfort the family and friends of those who have died. Give them peace and support at this time of grief and loss. Thank you for the medical and other support staff who look after so many people. And we ask that you will give them strength and courage to continue their work. Please keep them safe from harm and protect them from infection. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers and making it possible for this new vaccine to be created and rolled out so quickly. We ask that in your mercy you will allow it to succeed. We pray now for the logistical challenge of equitably and quickly rolling this out on a global basis. We ask for wisdom for those in leadership to be able to make wise decisions about this that are in the common good for all people. Lord God, we know that you are our strength and shield, so we pray for all of this, putting our trust in you. Amen. Lord, our shepherd, we know there are many places where your people are unjustly persecuted. We bring before you our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in countries like Egypt, Iraq, and Iran, who are frequently discriminated against and attacked because they are believers and followers of Jesus. Help justice to be done so that discrimination will be stopped. Lord, please give our fellow believers confidence in your presence and the ability to stand firm in their faith. Give them safety from physical attack and help them to be patient in their response to aggression and show love to those who are persecuting them. Lord, we thank you that you are all-knowing and achieve your purpose through suffering to honour your name and to grow your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, our protector, we thank you for the work that Anglicare does in aged care, hospitals and correctional facilities through their chaplaincy activity. We thank you for the opportunity to go into these places and show that everyone is created in your image and is therefore valued and worthy of care and love. We thank you for the people who do this work and look to make you known. We ask that you will sustain them and encourage them in their work. We thank you that your Spirit prepares the way and upholds and guides them in what they are doing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way Anglicare is organised to make this happen and the positive impact this work has in showing your love and grace to so many people in our community. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We ask that you will be with us as a congregation so that we may conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to stand firm together and to be striving together as one. Give us your confidence so that we will not be frightened by those who oppose you. Help us to be united so that we will value each other and look to each other's interests. Heavenly Father, we also have people who have special needs at this time. Lord, please give them peace and comfort. We also ask that where necessary, please help each person to get wise and insightful assistance in any treatment that's required. And we ask especially for Minette's mum, who has had a new challenge this week. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, trusting that in your mercy, you will provide what is needed. Amen.
Amen.
Lord our God, we bring before you all these prayers of your people, knowing that you love to hear what we have on our hearts and minds. We trust that you will continue to uphold and strengthen each of us in this week in our relationship with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
With the announcements, I'll just draw you quickly just to those that are in the bulletin. Please read your bulletin regarding, again, the restrictions released and also upcoming with Christmas Day and Holy Communion. I draw your attention to the bulletin to read those things. But next Sunday is our family Christmas celebration. Please come early. It's always a wonderful celebration of Christmas time together. So come a bit early. That's from 9:30. The Sunday school will be part of the kids' church will be part of that. And on Christmas Day, the 25th, we'll have the Lord's Supper together. If you've giving towards this church by offertory envelopes, they're up the back. And thank you. Thanks, Fiona.
In an age where we are often sold lies, like there's no such thing as truth, it's so important that we are certain of what we believe, because these are truths that will last beyond all time. So please stand as we confess together what we believe. If these aren't your beliefs yet, just think and reflect on them and ask God to show you what is true. But for those of us who do believe, do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Christians look forward to the return of Jesus, who is going to come back again. He's busted death apart, and we don't know when he's going to return, but he will indeed come back. So please remain standing as we sing together of this event, reminding ourselves just how much it cost Jesus, but who now is coming to bring in his kingdom. Please join me in a closing prayer. Almighty God, we pray that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered through your guidance and through your church, that we may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join with me. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain seated if you want to talk to people. Please don't work the room. If you want to talk to people, other people, go out into the courtyard. Thank you. Thank you.